We think they're going to fit in very well, particularly Governor Holcomb's agenda, much of which he's already laid out, partly in his budget proposal that was presented to the State Budget Committee and particularly the House Ways and Means Committee last week. Our focus is on economic growth and job growth, and that's sort of the lens that we look at everything through, because that's what's going to make Indiana more competitive. That's what's going to provide more and better quality jobs for Hoosiers, and is going to move our state forward and keep us competitive. So we're pleased that the legislative priorities that have been laid out by the legislative leaders, as well as those by Governor Holcomb, align very strongly and very significantly with the chamber's legislative priorities and our long-term economic development action plan for Indiana that we call Indiana Vision 2025. There's a lot of work to be done, and our advocacy team is already rolled up their sleeves and ready to dive in. But I think if we can accomplish many of the things that are on our agenda and that are on their agenda, Indiana will be farther down the road and continue to lead the Midwest with the best business climate.
One of the things that has been of great importance here in Northwest Indiana in particular, and in other places in the Hoosier State as well, have been dealing with matters of transportation. We know that there's been a lot of work in planning over the last few years that have come up locally with the Regional Development Authority, efforts that have been made by lawmakers, including Congressman Pifis Klosky, to see improvements made to the infrastructure on the South Shore line. They would like to see double tracking to be sure to make it quicker for commuters to make it from, say, Michigan City into Chicago, because they wouldn't have to wait for trains to get out of the way in Gary. The other improvements as well, too, just expanding the South Shore line southward from Hammond down into sections of Lake County. All this, of course, is going to take money, and there would have to be some cooperation from lawmakers. And in the meantime, we know that that certainly the supporters of these projects have been touting the fact that we'll increase Indiana's economic capability, drawing more people from Chicago that might be living over there to come live in Indiana, and in turn taking the train to make it to and from work. But I imagine, too, that, of course, I'm sure you and the Indiana Chamber members are very much concerned about making sure that there are more businesses added to Indiana that'll be able to take advantage of all this, too.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think that there's great economic opportunity associated with these transportation infrastructure projects, and there has been a lot of work and research done to prepare us for this session of the General Assembly, where we're looking at enacting long-term, meaning 20 years or so, funding to, one, catch up on our maintenance needs, which NDOT estimates we're short by nearly $1 billion a year, as well as new construction and new projects, including the ones in Northwest Indiana that you outlined, that we agree are critical to that region of the state and our state as a whole. We need to understand, you know, people say, what's the why here? Why have we fallen so far behind? Why do we have such strong needs in transportation infrastructure? And you can really point to, in some respects, one word, and that's technology. Technology has allowed Indiana's funding system for roads and highways is to tax the fuel source, which traditionally has been gasoline and diesel fuel purchases. And so we tax a gallon of gas or a gallon of diesel fuel purchased. And over time, technology has allowed vehicles to go much further on a gallon of gas or a gallon of diesel than previously. And we have vehicles that now don't even run on gasoline or diesel fuel, electric cars and trucks running on natural gas that our current taxing system doesn't even capture. So we've lost, because of that and because of these improvements in technology and alternative fuel sources, we have lost purchasing power with our highway dollars. Our actual revenues have gone down, while the cost of construction and maintaining our roads and highways has gone up. The average Hoosier only pays $108 per year to access the roads in Indiana, and that's less than they pay for all the cell phones in most of their households. And the average Hoosier actually pays more in car repairs related to poor road conditions than they do in fuel taxes to use the roads. So it's time for the time has come for Hoosiers to invest in transportation infrastructure.
We know that State Representative Ed Soliday in Valparaiso has been working on this issue for some time, and he and his colleagues in not only the Indiana House, but in the Indiana Senate as well, have been pushing for the changes. What do you folks with the Indiana Chamber of Commerce hope that lawmakers will take out of this session to be able to make these improvements happen that you'd like to see made?
Well, we're sort of taking a, everything should be on the table for consideration approach, but for us, we need to close the maintenance gap so that we don't continue to lose ground in the condition of our roads and our bridges. And then we need to provide funding for new projects, such as the ones in Northwest Indiana that you've mentioned, such as making Highway 30 across the state more of an interstate grade highway like we've done with US 31. We need to, in central Indiana, we need to finish I-69, which is the section between Martinsville and Indianapolis, mm-hmm. is not funded currently, and so we need funding for that. And there are other needs across the state, including making some of our current interstates six lanes instead of four lanes, because I-65 from Indianapolis to Northwest Indiana has become nightmarish in terms of the volume of traffic that is on that interstate, as is the case with I-70 across the middle of the state. And there are still some things that could and should be done in Northwest and North Central Indiana as well.
You mentioned about the continuing the work, finishing up the expansion of I-69, that's the section in Central Indiana. I've been on that section, at least what is the current existing now, and I see the work that has gone to a point from mm-hmm. between Bloomington and Martinsville, but I see there are going to be some different challenges that the planners, if they haven't already worked out here, to be able to make that last big connection between Martinsville and Indianapolis to be able to do that. I'm sure they've taken these things into consideration, but I see that's going to be a very expensive project to be able to deal with that in the future.
Yeah, NDOT's had a number of public hearings in Martinsville and in Johnson County and Marion County, and the final route has been chosen, and that is to essentially stay on what is currently Highway 37 mm-hmm. With a probable veer off near the northern terminus where it intersects with I-465, because that's a very busy area with a lot of very expensive businesses. There's truck stops and hotels and other things. And so the plan is to take that a little bit further to the west and create a whole new interchange with 465. But again, none of that's currently funded. And so that will need to be considered as part of this long-term funding program that we believe the House and the Senate will enact this year. And I know a number of key legislators, including particularly Representative Soliday, who's really been a strong leader on this issue and bringing forth the need with some thoughtful analysis. But there's been a number of legislators talking about the importance of the South Shore Railroad, both the double tracking and running the spur to the south, which really could be serve as an economic engine for bringing moving people from Indiana over to Illinois and all the way to downtown Chicago, and the economic development that would come with that.
Kevin, we just have a few minutes left here. Let's take a moment here. You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation about the importance of making sure that there's adequate economic growth and job growth to keep Indiana mm-hmm. in that competitive mode with its neighbors in the Midwest and elsewhere. Are there any other areas that the Indiana Chamber is looking at, especially dealing with finding ways to grow more jobs in Indiana and to get more educated people, educated the proper way to be able to work in those jobs?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, directly in the workforce, which is our number one priority. The governor has some money, $10 million in his proposed budget, to provide for workforce training to individuals to obtain skills in high-wage, high-demand jobs that have been identified as available by the Department of Workforce Development. Now, $10 million won't get everybody that needs training and skilled up to that level, but we think it's a good start, and it's moving in the right direction. We've also seen our higher education funding, starting to distinguish between low-demand jobs and high-demand jobs so that we use those student assistance resources as strongly as possible. And then the other thing, at the very beginning of the education process, the Indiana Chamber is strongly promoting the expansion of the five-county preschool pilot, Lake County being one of those counties, because we need to close what I refer to as the preparation gap between those that have had a good educationally oriented preschool experience before they get to kindergarten and those that have not had that opportunity because their families just simply can't afford it. And so, you know, our ultimate goal is to see preschool, publicly funded preschool available for disadvantaged youth in all 92 counties, and we want to expand that as far as state resources will allow here in the 2018-2019 biennial budget.
I know that you and your staff there at the Indiana Chamber of Commerce have opportunities to almost every day, if not every single day, to go over to the State House to talk with lawmakers when they're available to talk, to listen in on not only the committee hearings, but also the discussion that's made on the floor of the Indiana House and the Indiana Senate. Do you have any plans that you've made, kind of battle plans, as we get closer to as the session goes on and the talk about the crafting a budget continue?
Yes. I mean, you're right. Our offices are literally just across the street from the state capitol, and our advocacy team is over there every single day. And we're part of a on the kindergarten issue. We're part of a coalition of businesses and Goodwill and some other like-minded organizations that are creating a push that we call All In for Kindergarten, or excuse me, All In for Pre-K. Mm-hmm. You know, talking to legislators and the governor and saying, you know, please make this a top priority for any incremental revenue or additional spending that you're going to do in this budget. We're not advocating, you know, that they, you know, spend all the rainy day fund or anything of that nature, but we want to take this as far as possible. Some members of our coalition have suggested that an additional investment of $50 million would take us a long way, and it certainly would, and we could support that. But we need to do it in obviously in a fiscally prudent way as well. But we want to go absolutely as far as we can because we know this is a budget writing session next year won't be. And so, you know, this is the year to strike the iron and expand the pilot program to other counties and also look at expanding the income eligibility level to match the free and reduced lunch threshold in this budget writing session of 2017.